Arthur, what would you like us to share specifically about?
How you got involved, Jacqueline, with the refugees, and you, Jesse, with Mexico, and anything you want to share about that?
I'll let my wife start. Maybe she can talk about the refugees.
Well, I decided to get involved with the refugee just because I think it was the summertime that every day we were seeing on TV how the Americans withdrew. These Afghans were suddenly displaced. They have to leave their home. And as a mom, the image of children being passed over the fence just so they could maybe come to America really stuck to me. And it really hurt. And I just keep asking Jesse, I said, I wish there's something we can do for these people. So I went online and did some research, and then I found that organization, which is locally. And so that's why I decided to start working with them. And another reason is also because I just feel, especially our kids, they have so much. They don't know how to appreciate things. They a lot of time take things for granted. Because of COVID, we haven't really had opportunities to go serve in Mexico. And at the same time, I always wonder and concern about safety for Maple if we were to take her to Mexico. So I thought this would be a great opportunity for her to also serve and to see how much we have and what we can do to share and help others. That's kind of how I got started with that.
Sorry, guys.
This is better speaker than both of you, so we enjoy it.
we've been really fortunate to serve in Mexico, in the Philippines. What would you guys like to hear about, Mexico or the Philippines?
Mexico.
Mexico?
Abby said Mexico.
Probably Mexico, since we're closer.
Okay. So, at our last church did about three, and bear with me, I always get nervous when I talk to people. At our last church, we had three mission trips every year, but there was a group of us within the church that really had a passion for missions, and it's probably about 12 of us. So we formed a group called Amigos for Life, and we had a little van that said Amigos for Life on the side of it, and it was just all of us that really had a passion for serving in Mexico. And probably maybe once or twice a month, we would go to Mexico and serve. So we, our friend Lily, she's from Mexico, and she knew a Mexican couple that lives right outside of Tijuana in a town called Pedro Gales. It's a really poor town. Their house, they built themselves, is up on a hill. their daughter their names are Miriam and Raul, and they've become good friends with us. Inside the hospital in downtown Tijuana, their daughter passed away from leukemia at about 22 years old. So through that experience, they've met a lot of the doctors and nurses that worked in the hospital. And because of that, we had access to go into the hospital. So what we would do, you know, once or twice a month is we would go down there and we would serve in the hospital. We would they allowed us to go into the cancer ward where they have the children, and the cancer ward, and also just the general children's emergency area upstairs. And we would just go up there in groups of teams and just witness to them and encourage them. We would bring toys and candy, stuff like that, and just spend time with them. And the parents would always be in the room with them. Also outside of this hospital, there's like a large awning, and at night, all of the families of the children would sleep outside because they couldn't afford a hotel. And the families would come from all over that area to get treatment at the hospital. So what we would do is we'd actually take donations of blankets and sleeping bags, towels. And we would go and so we'd go down Friday night, and we would go to Ramon Graham's house in near Tijuana. We'd make a huge pot of coffee. We'd gather, you know, we'd actually go out and buy like the Mexican sweetbread. Then we'd go to the hospital that night, and we'd pass out all the bread, give coffee to the families that were sleeping outside there, pass out tracts, and just spend time and witness to them. So I think that was actually Jacqueline's first missions trip. And her parents probably thought we were crazy. You know, we're in Tijuana, 9 o'clock at night, downtown, you know, handing out coffee and sweet bread and witnessing to these families that are outside the hospital while their children are obviously sleeping inside the hospital getting treatment. So that was on Friday night. Then the next day on Saturday, our team would wake up early. We'd all sleep at Miriam and Raul's house. We'd wake up early. And we'd make, you know, spend 2 hours in the morning making hundreds of cheese and ham sandwiches and, you know, chips or whatever that we could gather. And, there was a small church, maybe like 200 yards from the hospital that we teamed up with. So on Saturday, we would go to the hospital. A team of us would pass out more sandwiches to the families that were outside. Invite them to the church if they want to have a real lunch. We had food there, so some of the families would go to the church, and part of our team would be witnessing to them at the church. And then again, some of our team would go upstairs and visit with the children that were in the cancer ward and just in the general emergency ward area, and just spend time to witness to them. After that, we had a connection also in Tijuana, a hospice facility that was inside of a neighborhood at just a home. And we would go after that, and we would go to the hospice facility, and it was a sight to see. I mean, just when you walk in, just reeks of just urine and feces, and just people stacked to the wall, people stacked in beds, just in pain, you know, and we'd go in there and give them chocolate, spend time with them, witness to them, clean them up, you know, feed them by hand if need be. And that was really tough. There was, I think a lot of people would be happy if we didn't have time to go to the hospice after we were at the hospital, because it was really difficult. But after you leave, it was such an incredible blessing. Just to be there with them and get a chance to witness to them. A lot of them came to Christ. So just a really beautiful thing. But that's kind of a summary of one of our Mexico ministries that we would do like probably once or twice a month for a number of years with our team. So that's what we do. So I just want to share that with you guys.
We'll make these t-shirts.
T-shirts.
Wear when we go on these trips.
So
here's other ones. There are some other ones I can't find.
But it's just such a beautiful thing to be able to serve. If I could quote one of Pastor James's sermons, he said our life should reflect that we love the Lord, that was it. And Pastor Alex, a couple weeks ago, he said, we want to serve because we want the Lord to receive more glory and more praise. And I think both those statements are very, very true. I think for me and my wife, we just, the Lord's been so good to us. And he's as I look back, he's always just blessed us, you know, not with material possessions. I'm just saying the way that he's taught us and disciplined us and guided us. And he's just been so beautiful to us our whole life. It just makes us happy to give back to the Lord. It makes us happy to serve him. Gives us joy. I mean, we always say when we would come back from Mexico, it would be Saturday night or Sunday morning, and you just feel so good and so lighthearted and just filled with joy because you really know that there's nothing better that you could have done with your time that weekend. You know, what we do in Mexico, you know, we have the honor to be used by the Lord and have him work through us. And, you know, if someone did come to him as the Lord is working through us, that has an eternal consequence, that person saved for eternity, and the Lord used us to play a part in that. And that's such an incredible blessing. There's nothing better that we could have done that weekend to use our time. And it feels so good to come back to a mission trip and know that you serve the Lord that we love and that loves us. So that's it. Just wanted to let you guys in on that story. Do you have anything else? Yeah. So, and Jacqueline's parents thought I was totally crazy. The week before we got married, I was in Mexico, riding in the back of a pickup truck in downtown Tijuana, and they're just, well, this guy is absolutely crazy. But since then, Jacqueline has caught the missions fever, and she's been out there with me, and it's been just a beautiful thing. Just watching my wife also just grow and just grow a love for missions and people. And, you know, she started this thing with the Afghan refugees, and it's just it's been beautiful to see the Lord just use us. And again, we're just so grateful to serve the Lord. So that's it.
Thank you, Jesse and Jacqueline. I want you guys to share. And Jacqueline, one thing is, I was like, it's clear that like, this is a habit for you guys. It's not something that you, even though, especially for us who stay, it's not something that we did once a year or like it's a special trip. It's like you made it a part of your lives, right? And so thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for allowing us to share. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So, okay, we're going to do an activity now. So it does, okay, I'm going to explain it as this is postponed from the go, when we're talking about going, but it relates to welcome too, the topic of welcome. And we're going to split up into two tribes, okay? I'm going to give each tribe different instructions, okay? But the basic of it is that you represent your tribe, and I'm going to give you characteristics of your tribe, okay? So remember those things, okay? And I'll give this other tribe another set of characteristics, okay? And so we'll spend some time just for you to understand what those characteristics are. And then we're going to have a sort of missions. Pretend that you are two tribes meeting together for the first time, okay? And you will pretend like you're a tribe, and I'll give you the characteristics, and you will get to know this other tribe who is different from you, okay? And you have a specific task. The one is really just to get to know them, okay? Get to know, because they're going to be different from you, okay? So I'm going to just, I'll give you specific instructions, but let's split up, okay? So I want to split up just one by. So the name of the first tribe is Walla Walla, okay? And that tribe will go outside first, and I'll give you instructions for that. The second tribe is Chingaling. They will stay here. Okay, there's no such tribe, of course, it's all made up. Okay, and you know, it's not, I didn't make up those names, just you know. So Walla Walla and Chingaling. Okay, so we'll just go Walla Walla Chingaling, Walla Walla Chingaling, and we'll divide it that way. Okay, let's wrap things up. Okay, let's come back. Okay. Okay. All right, so how was that in general? So we're coming out of our roles. How was that in general? Before you reveal like your own five characteristics, like how was this process in general? Like what would you use to describe it?
It was very funny.
Okay. You couldn't get your point across, okay. Because of the limitations of, yes, of your culture or even their culture, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. What other things?
Well, like conversations didn't go very far. Right.
You hit a wall, right? After the first.
Right.
Okay. Good. What other things?
I didn't have many conversations before the Walla. Walla's fixated on weight or something.
We'll get into that. Well, I'll read the characteristics. Okay. Okay. So what was, how many think this was an easy thing to do? Okay, so everyone thinks it's hard, right? What was hard about it? And you guys already mentioned some.
Even though we spoke English.
Uh-huh.
Like
the same language, but because we were speaking about such different things, then we still couldn't really communicate with them.
Right.
So there wasn't a language barrier.
Okay.
You can't really find something in common because
like,
you have like two like very different things.
Right. Okay. Good. Couldn't find anything in common because you like had two completely different things. Yes. Okay. Good. What else? What was difficult for you?
Sometimes you want to get the point across by just asking questions, but then we find out to be different and you don't know how to handle.
Oh, okay. Okay. So in your culture, you may say something, want to express something, and you may feel like this is an appropriate response to it, but like they have a completely different what you expected, their response. Okay. Okay. Anything else? How about those online? I know it was chaos for you guys, but what did you guys, what can you imagine the difficulty of this? And maybe what you observed the difficulty?
To me, one of the, it was a joy actually seeing all the interactions. Cross-cultural interactions are actually not as easy as it should be. But I'm happy to see everybody was so open. It's difficult because one of the groups, they didn't make eye contact. And from another point of view, that's kind of rude, right? Some ways of thinking. So you might have that as a blockage, or you already have a preconception, oh, these people don't want to talk to me, or, you know.
Wow.
So that could be a misunderstanding of culture. And from that other culture, the Walla Walla, they might be, oh, respectful. They don't want to view you in the eye, see eye to eye to you, meaning maybe they have a humbleness in their culture, like they don't want to be so bold in at the first meeting. So there's a lot of preconceptions or things or misunderstanding that could happen.
Mm-hmm. How did you guys interpret the non eye contact thing? Did you guys notice it for those who were not on the who are on the Qingling tribe?
You kind of
look
like they didn't know how to respond.
Okay. What did you attribute that non-eye contact to? So non-responded, they didn't know how to respond. What else?
Trying to be actors.
Okay, so maybe they're just like, maybe because of the game, right? You thought they were trying to think or like trying to be an actor, and that's taking up all the brain power. Okay. Okay. So what, okay, let's start with the Qingling tribe. Okay, this is the one with the bandanas, okay. So what did you guys, the Walla Walla tribe, what did you observe about the Qingling tribe?
They like worship the sun god.
Oh, how did you find that out?
I asked.
Okay.
What?
How did you make out that?
Okay.
Well, they all wear bandanas, obviously.
But
okay.
Bananas. I feel like they would, like when we asked a question, like they wouldn't answer like at all. Like I thought like we were rather than we just beat her on the bus. Like,
they are totally evasive, and they cover it with laughs.
Right, right. I can only hear Daniel like laughing.
I all that. I worship the sun the most.
Okay, you're the most devoted to. Okay.
Oh, and they focus on material stuff. Like they like to see.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The cost.
Oh yeah. The cost.
Oh right.
Because everything is expensive. Everything looks expensive.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good. So I think that's everything for the Qingling tribe, right? Is that correct? Okay. That's good. These are good. These are good. So what did you observe the Qingling tribe? What did you observe on the Walla Walla tribe?
They're obsessed over like their physical features, okay. Like their body,
yeah.
And their like anything on their body.
Okay.
Well, they already said no eye contact, but I think they also like said like that's a long story, or they would like give a bit like long explanation.
Okay. Right, a long. Who had the most long-winded story?
Find the dad.
You went so long, you forgot the question.
Yeah,
exactly. I see.
Okay. Good. What are the things? We talked about the eye contact.
Very protective of their soul.
So how did you find out that this tennis ball was?
I was trying to touch it.
Okay. It's funny how I noticed like you guys interpret. So like let's say Walla Walla was supposed to ask about their body, but you interpret that they value their body, like because that's the question you asked, right? And same thing for Qingling, you thought that money was the most important thing. It may not be the most important, it may be just that's a common greeting, like it's a common like way to initially connect with someone, but not necessarily the most important, but that's what you attributed to, right? Like as the most important. Okay, good. And then you both noticed that everyone was kind of evasive with their questions. One, the Walla Walla tribe, their evasiveness was telling the long-winded story. Like kind of not, they responded, you know, they responded to your question, but they like told these long-winded answers, okay? Whereas the Qingling tribe, when they answered, they were, you thought they were evasive by laughing it off, okay? That's something that you notice. And it's hard to get anywhere with that, right? Like you can't go deeper if they're evasive, right? Or they're going in a different tangent, okay? Any other thoughts, difficulties, or even like things you found were relatively easy?
It was easy not to have to answer questions.
Okay. 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 Stay kind of on the superficial.
Yeah, they had to think about the long-winded answer.
I see. Okay.
They were friendly.
Okay. Okay. Good. Anything else?
Are you going to tell us how this is in real life with like indigenous groups?
We can go there. Yeah. So imagine you don't even speak the language, right? I think Cindy was saying that you at least speak the language, but you can see that your cultures are so different that it's hard to connect, right? And so that's often the time when you meet a different culture that you don't have, it's like we experience this on a daily level, right? You meet someone and you let's say you love the same, you know, football team. Well, you connect easily, you can just talk about it, right? Or you love the same movies, or you love the same food, you can just connect it. But imagine a culture that you have totally different foods, you have totally different people that you like, famous movie or like famous stars or people you look up, completely different. They may mention someone that you think that you should know, or they know, but you don't know, then it's hard to connect, right? Like if you mention George Washington, you expect everyone to know George Washington, but people don't know, right? So how do you connect? So these are the difficulties you have. The other thing I want to bring out is that when you're doing it, how many people felt like they could actually, even this brief, it was like less than 10 minutes, like you could begin to connect like with that one person? How many felt like you were on the verge of that? Okay, maybe one, okay. Okay. Abby, like in what way? Like what?
When Abby started asking about the sun, Dan and I were like, let us tell you.
Oh, okay. So you asked her something that was important to her, right? And then that started connections.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. And so part of the thing in when you eat, let's make it applicable, like let's say this Saturday, part of the thing is finding out what's important to someone. Right. And it may not be their first thing that they talk about. It may not be money. It may be the sun god, you know, but without probing, or this, the tennis ball, right? Without probing and observing, then you will never know. Right. And there's no way to connect unless you're looking for those things. So what other things can we be looking for when we approach a person of a different culture?
They're like religion.
Okay. Religion, okay, that's usually something very important to them, okay.
I think the nonverbal communication is huge.
Okay.
Because I'm not very perceptive sometimes, so I just feel like, but if you really start to pay attention to the nonverbal, especially when you can't communicate well in English, I think you'll get more of a sense of what they're, well, not, who knows, right, but just pay attention to that more.
Okay.
Do you know how much English they are able
to speak? So I'll say for the Saturday, so the Afghan refugees, most of the men are pretty good English.
Okay.
Not great, because they were former translators for either U.S. Army or like, they work, the reason they're here, they're able to come, is that they work with the U.S. Army. Okay. So they have to have some level, some of them are business owners, and then they interact with the U.S. military or Americans or Western people. But I'll say for the women, most women do not speak English. Okay. Besides the last 4 months, that 4 or 5 months that they've been, whatever they've been learning. Okay. So, yes. But every family is different, so I don't really know for sure.
There are a couple of girls at Claremont High School, right? There are a couple of girls at Claremont High School.
Yeah, so the kids, high school, that they will, as you expect, in the 4 months, they will take up English faster, right, than their mothers, right? The mother, it's a traditional family, so the mothers are usually at home cooking and doing other things, so they have less of a chance to interact. So actually, when you invite the Afghans, usually the first time they go is the men go.
Mm.
Okay, because English reasons, but also I think that's just, it's the men go. But in talking with them, the women also like parties. They like big gatherings, right? But it's you can understand that it's a cultural language barrier, right? So they don't tend to come.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we do have some others coming, and we do have kids coming. So,
do we know the age of those kids?
I can spell it out in the Google. Some I don't know. I can ask. But of the families I do know, I can specify. But they range from like really young, like 2 or 3, to high schoolers. So, yeah.
When you mentioned that you know of at least one family that has like 17 members, is it immediate family? Or like 2 generation or 3 generation or extended family?
That family has, the father, mother has like 7 kids.
Mm-hmm.
7. And then I think 3 of them are married with kids. So it's a multi-generational.
Yeah. Right.
The other thing,
can I add something? Last week or this week, I made gift baskets. I put together gift baskets and they gave me a list of the families. Actually, the families are, the nucleus families, quite small or normal. Maybe parents and either 1 or 2, sometimes 4, but that's the 4 is probably the most. Most of the families I put gift baskets for were, they only had 1 or 2 or 3 children. And they range from 1 to teenagers.
Awesome. Yeah. One thing that leads us to our discussion with Saturday, but one thing besides looking for something like what's important to them, I think it goes back to the verse we're talking about before when Jesus sent out the 72. Okay, he asks us to find people of peace. Okay, find people of peace, meaning find people, not necessarily that they're Christian, but find people who are these people who are not afraid of interacting with you. They want to be a bridge builder in terms of culture, right? These are the people who, like, when you go into the village, or they want to meet a stranger, okay? These are people who hide in their house and, like, close the door. But there, you find that these people are actually at the center of the community because maybe they're extroverted, maybe they're this, they're open to new things. They want to connect with new people, and then they want to connect you with their people as well. Okay, so these are people of peace. So this is what you're also looking for. Like, are you perfect? And it may not be evident at first, but that's another thing that you're praying and looking for. So to wrap up is for this Saturday, do we have any questions or anything that we need to talk about for this Saturday? Yeah.
Good night.
What's happening? So we're holding a lunch, a barbecue, a potluck for these Afghan refugees. So everyone's going to bring a potluck, like a dish. But we're also, I think Jesse and I, we're going to go to the halal market and then buy some meats and we'll grill them.
Oh.
So we'll have some extra meat to do that, to share. Yeah. Yes, Jesse.
I'm gonna bring our barbecue too, bro.
Yeah. Yes. Also, let's get the. Can someone else bring another barbecue?
We have a barbecue.
We have a barbecue
in between the chefs.
Okay.
I don't know. Are they still usable? But they're
okay. So who would volunteer to run that grill, to even test it before Saturday, and then make sure it works, and then be willing to grill? Okay, you don't have to answer now, but the email I sent, like, go online and that link, the Google Sheet, like, sign up for grill. I'd like to have at least one more griller to do that. So if you do that,
Arthur, what time is this starting?
Yeah, So the invitations aren't even sent out. We're saying 11:30 arrival, but like a lot of cultures, like they come late.
Oh.
So we actually won't really start any activities till noon.
Okay.
But for us, we should be here 11:30. If not early, if you sign up to be set up, please come earlier. And I think I said like 10:30.
Okay.
That's plenty of time to set up. We'll set up some tables outside this activity center. Tables and chairs. Okay.
Can I make a preparing? Sorry, Janet.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just wondering, is maybe preparing some simple stuff, like simple food, cutting stuff in the kitchen, like would that help bring the women in and make them feel like they can connect?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Do you know if a woman, you encourage a woman to come, right? To mm-hmm. come?
Yeah, and so that's a great idea. I feel like the people in the kitchen, if you look out for them, like invite them in. Mm-hmm. Invite them in to help out, okay? So it's not us, I mentioned this in the email, it's not us like giving everything to them, right? It's us being like together and working together and even preparing the food. So that's what happened too. When we invite them, they just start making stuff. They're actually better makers than a lot of us. So invite them in, but you have to look for that. So
So like if we buy like the ingredients of tabbouleh maybe, and then have them like just in there, everybody cut the vegetables and stuff. I have no idea how to make tabbouleh, but I love eating it. You know.
I don't even know what that is, though.
Huh?
What is it?
Oh, it's like a salad, like a Mediterranean salad, but it's not like chopped salad.
And you don't even have to limit to that food. I mean, if you want to bring Chinese food, I'm sure they would love to learn how to do that. So any type of food that you want to invite them in. And if we see people, then they're standing around not doing much, like, engage in conversation and invite them in to help, you know. So yes, that's a great, great thing.
Is that too hard?
Bread making, that's hard, right? You have to do it way ahead of time and you need an oven. So any other things?
I actually have two things. One is we could have name tags so we know them and they know us, but maybe their English is not so, maybe we'll have some difficulties in communication just because of the languages. Then I thought of besides the name tag, we can have stickers like what are your hobbies, and we'll have a table once they come in and we'll have stickers, and for us too. Because visuals is always really quick and fun. So we have stickers like nature or animals or, you know, tennis ball, you know, for playing tennis or stuff like that. So it's like visually you get to know, or there's some connection you can have already. It's like, oh, you like to cook. Oh, I like to cook too. Then you can start that conversation. That's just one thing I thought of. And then I need some help with the games with the children. So if anyone would like to help out, I don't have the details as the time and the how many children we'll have, but if you have a heart, you can join me because I might not have all the energy I need. So I'll need some of you to help me out too. Okay.
Great. Great, thank you, Janet. Does someone want to take the name tags and buy enough name tags and even little stickers that Janet proposed? Or Janet, do you have some already? Or
I can get the name tags for sure. I can look for stickers.
Okay.
And if you guys have extra stickers you don't need or you like to share, it'll be great to bring it too. It could be anything.
Okay, so bring your stickers.
Yeah. I'll buy some too.
The kids games will be around after we eat. So you know how like when we start eating and the kids finish first, but the adults will keep on talking. So I imagine if we start eating at 12:30, the kids will be done before 1. And is that a good time frame for kids' activities?
Good.
Okay. Great. Okay. Any so go on that list this week. Decide what you're bringing and sign up. And then I do need some transporters. I still need a couple of people who can willing to drive. It's not far. I think the family in Claremont, or one of the families in Claremont, I'll need drivers to pick them up. And I'll give you directions and all that. The last thing, and if there's anything, the last thing is that what I need most importantly is people to pray. So on that list, there are prayers, like you can sign up. Now sign up if you're willing to pray. And also I think I'm gonna set up a time Friday evening on Zoom, and we can come pray together. Because I think like it's, if you think about it, it's not too hard setting this up, like everyone just bring food and meeting people, right? That's almost like a human activity, right? And you know, it's not too hard getting, playing some games and all that, that's great, right? But what we're actually thinking about, if you want to think about a person who's never heard of the gospel, like for them to become your friend and for them to actually, you have an opportunity to share the gospel and to actually like be involved in their lives, and then they respond to it and they become a Christian and the family becomes a Christian and they start a church, you know, that is like God working, right? That's not because we did, it's not out of our power, right? So if we want that to happen, we need to pray to God, right? And so we can't just say, we're just, oh, it's easy to bring a, yes, it's easy to cook a dish and bring it, that's one thing. But if you think further along and what God wants for this people group is that we need to pray because we realize we have absolutely no control over that. So sign up to pray and I'll give you information about the exact time on Friday to pray. Anyone else?
Can we sign up with you now? Or?
It's on the email I sent that Frank started, the Google Sheet. So there's tabs at the bottom that you can click and you can sign up. Okay. Yes. Great.
Do you want to make known their house needs so more people can find out?
So Grace brings up about their housing needs. Okay. So one of the things also that you can do is to find out about what their needs are, right? And so like your initial conception of what their needs may not be actually what they need. So you know, as the course of conversation comes, like just find out. So
but these are all refugees from the recent like
Afghanistan. Yes. Yeah. Now this center that Jacqueline worked with, they've been in operation for years, right? So they've accepted refugees from all over, but we decided to just invite the recent ones, and all the recent ones are from Afghanistan, as far as I know.
So is recent like within 2020 they arrived?
Within when the Taliban took over this past summer. So like since August, September.
Oh, okay. And is the assumption that most of them, their English is good? Sorry, I was a bit distracted just now.
Yeah, I think that English, the men, their English is pretty good. You can have a conversation with them because these were translators for the US Army, some of them, or they like work closely with Americans. That's why they're able to come allowed into the country. But the women, most of them don't speak English, okay? Besides what they've learned in the last 4 months, but it can't be that great, right? And the kids, a lot of them have been in school, so they're picking it up at a rapid pace. So they can understand some directions, I think, but but their English is gonna surpass their parents in a few months, I feel.
Okay. So we'll be using Google Translate a lot then, huh?
You can use that, yeah. Or sometimes what the men will do, they'll translate for the women. Like you can tell like, let's say you want to talk to this woman, and usually the husband or another person there, you can ask, I want to say this to your wife or to this person. Like, can you help me translate? And they're used to that because they're translators. So
that's true. But there was one time I spoke to like a Thai lady that cannot speak English well, and we use Google Translate to show each other what we're saying. And that's how we have a conversation.
Whatever works. That's great. Any other things?
Google Translate would be Farsi?
Depends. So some speak Farsi, some Dari, which is like a version of Farsi, and some Arabic. And so it's hard. You have to ask them. So, okay. So any other questions you think of, like email back and forth, and I think we can handle it through email. Can someone pray for us as we close?
Okay.
Okay, right.
Dear Father, we thank you for this time that dedicated to worship you and to follow you with your instruction for us to make disciples, to share the good news. Thank you for using a brother Arthur to set this up so that we have an opportunity to show love, kindness, to our brothers and sisters, and also to our new friends. And we pray that your spirit will begin to work in their hearts. We may not know, but we may be working in their hearts already. They're coming into this church under the presence of the recovery to receive you, Savior. So that is really our goal and our end game, that they will receive your love, they will receive what the Son of Jesus Christ is and we ask that you prepare their hearts, prepare all our hearts, and that Lord, this is a great opportunity for us to exercise what we have learned. Everything that we do, from cooking, preparing name tags, to using Google Translate, that there is the power of the Spirit in all that we do. We thank you for this opportunity. We all listen to your precious name.
Amen.
Amen.